Welcome and introduce to you all, Rudy.
Hello, everybody. My name is Rudy. I'm an addict, and for perspective sake, I have 14 and a half months clean, so I leave room for error in my judgment during my share. I still got a lot to learn, but I want to start off, with my experience, strength, hope. But I'm gonna start off with strength. Now that I've been coming to NA, I've been able to deal with thoughts and feelings. I like NA, and if I didn't like it, I wouldn't keep coming back. I had to drop out and probably picked up using again a long time ago. I wouldn't wait this long to decide if I like it or not. And I was playing video games before this meeting, so I came in 5 minutes late. Sorry, I was trying to keep myself occupied and not think about what I wanted to say. I wanted to come out naturally, spontaneously, to the best of my ability. And what can I say? All right, I'm currently working step one. I'm not rushing through it. Some days I don't do any steps, but I get a lot of feedback for in regards to people saying they don't work steps or they work steps in different ways, because sometimes in meetings people push the steps, kind of demandingly, like they demand that we work the steps. So that's off-putting, and I like to take my time because I want to be as thorough and not force anything. I just between me and my sponsor, so I don't want to make up bullshit, I try to be as honest with I can as I can. I'm sure I deal with self-denial, self-deception, so I don't always spot that. I wish it could be learned. Maybe with time it can be learned. I don't know. Maybe, I mean, I've seen old timers still dealing with that, so maybe it's inevitable that we struggle with that all our lives. I don't know. If we have it, we have it, and just like addiction, we have to live with it. I get nervous when I have to do a share, because I don't know what I want to say and I'm not trying to make anything up. So I'm just kind of like a little nervous right now, but not too bad. I get less nervous every time I share, I think. But I have to remember to not be overconfident, and think, oh, I know what to say. I have a sponsor and I like my sponsor. He's pretty knowledgeable in the steps, and I only got my sponsor to work the steps. I'd appreciate more advice than he gives. He kind of sticks with his own spirit, experience, strength, and hope. And I wish he would give me more advice, but maybe that's just me not taking my responsibility for my own recovery. I've read that somewhere where that's a theme. It was not easy to give up drugs, I gave up hard drugs first, and then maybe a month or two later, I gave up marijuana. And I was still using during the meetings for that first month or two, literally during the meetings, I would turn my camera off and get high during the meeting. But eventually, I just stopped buying it, and maybe 30 days in, I started feeling better about not smoking. I still get the urge or the feeling or thought to smoke sometimes. Generally speaking, I'm repulsed by marijuana. That was my drug of choice. I did other drugs, hard drugs like meth, but my drug of choice was marijuana. That's one I did all my life. When I was like 20, 24, I was using meth. Then I gave it up for decades. And I thought, oh, I could smoke again because I could control it. But I couldn't. I got right back addicted to it again. Started smoking too much. Staying up for days at a time and stuff like that, and it got out of hand. Until I came to NA, I didn't realize that I thought I could control it, but I wasn't, I didn't realize that until after coming to NA. And, I used to get meth free. My cousin was a dealer, and he would just give me as much as I wanted. I suspect he was trying to get me addicted to become a customer, because right before I stopped using, I wanted to buy like a baseball size of meth. I hope I'm not triggering anyone, but that was a lot of meth, and that probably would have lasted me months at the rate I smoked. But that was too much. And if I had ended up buying that, I'd have been hopelessly addicted, man. I'm just glad that it got too much before I bought that. I was hallucinating and just out of my mind. And I have schizophrenia too, so it's kind of hard to deal with. I get especially paranoid, and even on a normal day, I still experience paranoia from my schizophrenia, and sometimes it's difficult to describe my thoughts and feelings in regards to whether it's schizophrenia or addiction. I'm learning to identify my thoughts and behaviors as how they relate to each or both of the diseases. It's not easy. It's very confusing. I wish I didn't have schizophrenia, but even as a little kid, I would hallucinate. And the only way I knew they were hallucinations was that my brother would tell me, no, that was never there. So my brother, being a good sounding board, I would just listen to what he had to say, even now. And I realized that what I saw wasn't there. But was that before the disease of addiction? I don't know. My parents were both addicts. My mom's still in active use. She likes marijuana. She doesn't do anything else. And when I live in her backyard, so sometimes I have to go inside her house to go do something. I don't know, rinse out a plate or something. Generally, I do that stuff inside my trailer. Or sometimes I go in there and I smell it, and to this day, I just find it repulsive. It's not attractive to me. Even before I started smoking, I was attracted to the smell. I thought, oh, that smelled good, which is probably part of the reason why I picked it up. And also, my mom being an addict of marijuana, I also mimicked her behavior regarding that too, man. So, yeah, I find it repulsive now. I don't entertain. It is a joyful smell. And I'm glad, because that. I don't want to be like, when I first started getting clean, I was feeling like, oh man, that smells good. I don't want anybody to smell good. But I don't think like that anymore. I'm really fortunate that I can grow from coming to the AA program. I go to another 12-step recovery program. It's a Native-centered program. They do the 12 steps too. But I think NA gets deeper into the psyche of addiction more so than that Native recovery group. So I find that it has benefits. As a Native person, I think sometimes I should just go to a Native recovery group because I can identify with them spiritually. I'm not a Christian, and that's why I come to secular meetings, because there's too much Christianity, in my opinion, in traditional NA. My father was a Christian, and I don't feel any resentments or try to judge anyone for being a Christian in particular, but I have to admit I do have resentment towards the Christian church. They've done a lot of negative things to Native people over the past 500 years, and I don't know how Native people can be Christians. It sounds like a contradiction. Like I said, I don't believe in a God. My higher power is the universe. When I pray to the universe. I don't pray to a deity in particular. If that works for you, that's good. I encourage you to find your higher power. That's something I learned in NA. Before, I thought everyone should follow Native ways, white people, black people, everyone should follow Native ways because we were more spiritual than religious. But I just figure now, as long as you're in touch with your spirituality, that serves a purpose. Or if you have no spirituality, that's fine too. I could still learn a lot from you. And so Christianity, yeah. Like I said, my father was a Christian and he would go to church, but not all the time. And he wouldn't read the Bible all the time, like all day or anything like that, you know. That was just his belief, you know. And when I was a teenager, I stopped going to church with him because I had a choice not to go to church, you know. Before, as a kid, they made us go to church. And I really found it boring and would fall asleep. But when I was a teenager, they let me decide for myself, and I just stopped going. And my mom is the one who follows native ways of spirituality. So I lean towards her ways more so, you know. I don't know, maybe Christianity's right, you know, and Jesus is there. But I kind of look at it in terms of our spirituality. We interpret our higher power in a different way than the European, the Judeo-Christian point of view, you know. If I died and Jesus is right there in front of me, I'll bow to him, shit. You know, but like a native perspective, they like to use the word Tukanchila, which means grandfather. But I suspect that's a characteristic of being influenced by Christianity for the past 500 years, you know. There was force on native people, so a lot of native people picked it up, you know, out of fear. And, you know, I don't want to bash Christianity because I'm sure there's Christians in this room right now. And, you know, if it was all secular people, I might. But, yeah, getting back to NA, you know. I'm here for recovery to NA. You know, I'm here on my own volition. You know, I wasn't forced by the course, my parents, my brother, nobody. I came here because the first meeting that I attended on March 23rd, 2024, I realized that this could work for me. You know, my dad was an alcoholic, and he was clean for 23 years until he died. So I knew if AA could work for my dad, NA could work for me. You know, and I go to NA, not AA. Because I have a bigger problem with drugs than I do with drinking. I could drink more than beer, even if everyone around me is getting drunk. Because I don't like the taste. I don't like how it makes my belly feel. I feel bloated. You know, I like being drunk, honestly, but I don't like what it takes to get there and put up with the taste or the feeling. So I never really was a drunk, you know. In my 20s, I used to drink maybe 10 beers or something like that at once, you know, because I was younger. But as I got older, you know, it became a lot less attractive to me. But drugs were always a huge attraction for me, you know. Like I said, I was free from meth for decades, but I smoked weed every day, you know, for since I was like 17. Now I'm 54. Just got clean last year. And you know, that's a lot of weed to be smoking. And I realize now that even though it's called a soft drug, it's still insidious. You know, maybe because it's considered a soft drug, you know, it still gets to my psyche, you know, clouds my thinking, influences my behavior, my feelings. You know, I used to act on my feelings, you know, not, I used to react, I should say, on my feelings a lot more quickly and impulsively than I do now. You know, I still get mad. But that's pretty much only if someone else gets me mad, you know, and I get mad out of self-defense. You know, I feel like they shouldn't be talking to me that way, so I'm gonna have to talk right back, show them how they're behaving towards me. You know, that's my first response. You know, but like past few times I got mad at people, I apologize. You know, and I'm not gonna talk about their behavior because that's not the point of my share. The point of my behavior, you know, so I apologize. And I tried to pray to them for to the universe, you know, wish them a good recovery, you know, and a successful life because I'm not trying to change them with my prayers. I'm not telling Creator, oh, please change them, influence them, work on them. No, I'm telling them that I wish they have a better life. That's what I'm telling the Creator. And for me, it helps me not to be resentful or hateful, you know. The last guy I got mad at, you know, he was accusing me of being racist, so I kind of got offended by that. I'd like to see where he's coming from because I have a very little tolerance for two-faced people. I mean, if you don't like me, say so I can see where I'm coming from and see where you're coming from. I mean, I don't want to waste my time with people who don't like me because there's a lot of people who do, and I can help. That will help me to grow. You know, if you don't like me, you don't have anything worth hearing. I don't need to hear that. And it's not easy because sometimes, people will become passive aggressive and say something under their tongue, and it's like, oh shit. You know, I think when people are passive aggressive, they're chicken shit. They really don't have the guts to say what they want to say, you know? And that's being two-faced too, you know? In Native tradition, in the old traditional ways, we used to say, oh, white man speak with forked tongue. Now I think it's just two-faced, you know? I changed that expression, you know, to mean two-faced. And everybody could be two-faced. You don't have to be white to be two-faced, you know? And yeah, I think it's important. You know, someone doesn't like me to say so, you know, because I don't want to waste time with people that don't like me. You know, I know there's sometimes people in these rooms who are passive aggressive, not this particular room, I really like this room. But, you know, like in a night meeting, I could think of at least one person who will stare at me passive aggressively, you know, and he's an old timer too, so I think. You know, he should know better. He should have a better understanding of spiritual principles. But that's an expectation on my part. You know, it's also disappointing that someone with decades clean could still behave in that way. You know, because in Native traditions, if you follow a spiritual path for decades, you learn a lot. You grow a lot. You know, NA is not the only form of recovery. You know, we've had recovery ceremony for thousands of years that we still use to this day. You know, but a lot of people like to insist that NA is the only way to grow, and like if you're not working the steps, you're not growing. But that's not true. I don't have to be in NA to grow. You know, I did a lot of growth in active addiction as a result of my Native teachings. You know, my perspective on women has changed, and I'm still scared of women. And I suspect that's because I was abused as a kid by a woman. You know, I don't know if that's the root cause of it. Maybe it's just a lifetime of hanging out with negative women, you know. My aunts would drink and talk shit to me a lot when I was a little kid, and I hated them, you know. When I was older, I used to hang around with prostitutes, you know, and there's nothing positive about that except maybe that I was getting a lot of sex. But I don't look at life like that anymore. I haven't had sex in over 8 or 9 years. Because I got frustrated with just the act of sex, you know, I no longer found it fulfilling. Nowadays, I think if I'm ever to have sex again, it's someone that I develop a friendship with, and then maybe it would take its course on to a romantic relationship. But I'm not looking for sex anymore. I'm not looking to hit on women anymore, you know? And unless they're scantily clad, I won't even check out a woman. But if she's got like a bikini on, of course I'm gonna look. You know, I'm not entirely a spiritual being, I'm physical too. You know, and I have to find a balance between the two, which means don't perv on women too much. Don't be too self-righteous about my spiritual upbringing, you know. So yeah, you know, that's my view nowadays. You know, and it took a while to change, you know. Some things I held on to for years. You know, like when I was with prostitutes, I was proud of it. You know, I used to tell my friends, oh, yeah, I banged this chick and get expressive about it. And now I don't find that anything to be proud of. If anything, I might be ashamed of it, but I don't try to live in shame, you know. Sometimes I was ashamed for the things I did for years, but I got sick and tired of being ashamed. And talking to my sponsor, I realized that, oh, I had the phone call, I don't know. Now talking to my sponsor, I realized that shame serves no purpose. He tells me guilt serves no purpose. But I think that guilt is an acknowledgement of what I do and have done. So I still live with guilt. Maybe in time my sponsor will teach me to not be guilty. You know, I forgive myself for pretty much everything I do, you know. One time when my brother was two, I tripped him, and I still haven't forgiven myself for that because he hit his teeth on the table. That was not my intention. That was an accident. But I did intend to trip him. And I still feel really bad about that. I never admitted that to him, you know? I never admitted that to my mom either, you know, because she would be probably mad at me, but she wouldn't hold it against me because that was so long ago. I'm trying not to live in shame, you know. I refuse to live in shame, you know. Sometimes my brother or my cousin would tease me about being with prostitutes, trying to put me down, but I refuse to be shameful about my past. And I've forgiven myself, honestly, so I think there's no room left for shame, you know? And if my brother or my cousin think I should be ashamed, that's on them. That's their behavior, thoughts, and feelings, not mine, you know? I regret the things I've done in the past to people, you know? And that's part of the reason why I came to NA is just not be so harmful to other people or to myself, you know? As far as hope goes, you know, I hope that I continue to grow and don't get complacent in NA. You know, I'm not really good at spotting complacency because I think there's not a lot of people who actually attend meetings who are complacent. If you're complacent, you're probably not attending meetings, you know? So hopefully I won't ever get complacent. I hope I never relapse, you know? I have 14 and a half months without a relapse since I've been coming to NA. And, you know, my ideal goal is to reach what my sponsor currently has of 12 years, you know, and being clean. And then take it even further from then, you know. But I want to, you know, I was clean for 2 years on my own. So I think I need to pass 2 years of clean time with NA to take my recovery even more serious than I do now, you know, because I could do it 2 years on my own with my own free will. But through NA, hopefully I'll do that for the rest of my life, like my dad did with AA, you know. And as far as will goes, I have difficulty surrendering my will because I don't believe there's a deity who wants me to surrender my will to them. You know, I can surrender my will to the universe, you know, as the universe expresses the idea of cause and effect, or what the Hindu people call karma. You know, it's not just a psychological term, it's a religious or spiritual term, you know. I think a lot of people tend to kind of misuse that word karma and kind of like think, you know, they apply it in a pop psychology context. Like another thing I find pop psychology is when people say insanity is doing the same thing over and expecting different results. I Google that, and it's not the legal or clinical definition of insanity. So that people overuse that expression too, and it doesn't really have much credence to it or importance as a point of view. And NA, there's lots of pop psychology, you know. After years of working on ourselves, I think a lot of people consider themselves an amateur psychologist. But no one is that. Unless you're a professional psychologist, I won't give you any credit towards being psychologically competent, maybe. You know, some people, I do respect their competence in psychology. Maybe they took 4 years of university and got a degree in it, you know, so I give them some leeway to know that they know what they're talking about, you know. But generally speaking, no one in NA has a very good grasp on psychology. We're all amateurs at best. You know, so I tend to look at what people say with a grain of salt, because there's a lot of room for error, even from old timers, you know. And NA, some people are very smart, and I admire their intelligence. But even old timers can be dumb as rocks, you know. They came into the program like that, and they never followed up on their schooling or something, you know. They think that, oh, I know so much about NA, I must be a smart or wise person. But that's not always the case. You know, I find, yeah, a lot of times people with less clean time are more honest about their work, you know. You know, I find a lot of old timers bullshit. or manipulate the literature to make their own self-will point of view expressed, you know? And, you know, as far as self-will goes, I think there's good and bad in self-will, you know? So I don't think self-will or self-centeredness is inherently bad. It's whether or not we nurture our goodwill or bad will. You know, I believe we have both, you know, even within self-will. And that's the opposite of the Christian point of view. Christianity teaches self-will is inherently sinful and bad, and we're born with that, so we're born to go to hell. And, you know, that's not practical. Therefore, it's not spiritual. That's my opinion. Yours may vary. You know, I don't know how much time I have left, but...
You're 5 minutes over 20.
Oh, I'm 5 minutes over. Oh, let me just stop there. Thank you for everyone to listen. I hope I said something useful. And if you disagree with me, let me know. I can be wrong. Thank you.